Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw that all he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Father, as we see life a gift from you, Father, help us to protect life. Whether it's our own life or our family's lives or the life of the innocent babies in their own mother's womb, Father, help us to stand up. Help us to proclaim your truth. Yes, I know your word is an offense to those that are perishing. But Lord, it's life to those that believe. Help us to live as servants of yours that stand up for what you say. And Father, we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Life is a gift from our God. When God began his creation, there was no life but God's life. There was no life of any kind on this earth or any place in the universe when God created the universe. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Folks, we believe by faith that God created the universe. But what are most young people today being taught about God's creation? God didn't create at all. In fact, there is no God. Everything happened with the Big Bang. Out of nothing came everything, and it's all random chance. God's word says exactly the opposite. You're going to have to make a choice today. Are you going to trust God's word, or are you going to trust what men say? The universe, the Bible says, was formed at God's command, out of nothing. There wasn't any little thing that popped and everything came. God spoke it. So, day one, I want to go through this fairly briefly, but I want you to understand that there's a foundation here. When we say we're opposed to abortion, that it's murder, I want to give you the foundation, because if you don't have the foundation, you won't understand this. So day one, God's initial creation of the heavens and earth, the earth was formless. Only life at that time was God's life. In Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day." After the first day, the only life was still God's life. That was it. There was no life on this earth. Day two, Genesis 1, verse 6. "And God said, 'Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water.' And God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day." So at the end of the second day, the only life was God's life. Day three, Genesis 1, verse 9. "And God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants with trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And so at the end of the third day, the only life on earth was God, and now you had plants of various kinds. But there was still no life that moved and had volition of itself. On the fourth day, Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vaults of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And so after the fourth day, there was still only God's life and plant life. Now we hit day five, and things begin to change rapidly. Genesis 1, verse 20. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which water teems, and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. I just want to mention before I go on, did you notice there that the animal kinds begot after their kinds, and the plants also begot after their kinds? Is that what your children are being taught in the public schools today? They're not. They're being taught that one kind changed to another kind, which became another kind, then became another kind. Evolution, if evolution is true, Darwin himself said, if evolution is true, it should be going on today. We should be able to find the missing links. He said, if we don't find the missing links, this is what Darwin said, evolution is not true. Do you know that Darwin died not believing in evolution anymore? Folks, the Bible tells one story, and we're allowing our government to teach our children another story in the schools. Somebody, according to our sign out front, lies gift. Somebody's lying. You get to choose who. I want to hit day six now because it's so important. Day six, this is the way God looks at human life. This is not the way the world looks at human life, but this is the way God looks at it. And God said in Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, and livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So God created man in his own image. We are not an evolved animal. Again, that's not what your children are being taught. The Bible says, and this just changed in the last 3-4 years. This is an amazing thing to me. God said in the beginning, he created them male and female. How many different sexes have we got now? I can't even keep up with the pronouns. I have no idea how to keep up. You got men that are women, you got women that are men, you got men that are both women and men. We even had people talking in our Senate giving testimony. These are the wisest people on the earth, by the way. Our new Supreme Court justice. Can you define what a woman is? No, I can't define that. Folks, something's really wrong. When you have a baby, it says on the birth certificate what? Boy or girl. It doesn't say anything but that. That's what it says. It's not rocket science, but they don't want to admit it. There are two sexes. Mankind did not evolve. I can't believe in a country like ours that we're allowing to be taught in our schools things that are absolutely false. And we're going to hit in a few minutes science falsely so-called. I hate to tell you this, but normally I try to be done right at noon. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it today. There's just too much material. So I'll give you a warning. If you have to go, I won't feel bad. If you have to go, you have plans, just go. I'm probably going to go till a quarter after. That's sad, but that's just the way it is. So God created male and female in his own image. We did not come from animals. We are made in the image of God. God gave the gift of life. And ancients believed that. Adam believed that. Adam knew that he was created by God, and he knew that God had put him to sleep, took one of his ribs, and he had made the woman. And when he first saw her, he said, "Wow, man," which you get woman. So, okay. Anyhow, Adam believed it. Noah believed it. Enoch believed it. Moses believed it. And David believed that man was created in God's image. All the ancients were commended for that. That's why Moses wrote the sixth commandment. Exodus 20, verse 13. You shall not murder. Why? Because mankind is made in the image of God. We're not just like every other creature. We are special to God. So we've got a debate in the United States of America, and it's all over the world now. When I was a little boy, China was aborting babies, but almost the entire rest of the world, abortion was outlawed when I was a little boy. But our nation has been embroiled in a controversy that's the greatest controversy since the time of slavery in our nation. Is that a baby in the mother's womb, or is that a fetus in the mother's womb? You see, we like to make up brand new words. We really enjoy changing what God says and calling it something else. Because if you call it something else, then it is something else, isn't it? No. It's not. Everywhere in America, the debate rages. You pick up a newspaper, you go to the editorial section. You've got somebody shouting and screaming on the editorial page about this is wrong, that people are trying to restrict a woman's rights. This is wrong, that a woman would kill her own baby. It's a fight that's been going on since 1973. The subject of abortion. Physicians, politicians, educators, newscasters, feminists, lobbyists, they've all got a different angle on it. There's shouting and fighting, there's burning, there's terrible things happening to people because we just can't make up our mind. Over the years, our presidents have taken many stands on abortion. A former president vetoed several times legislation that came up from the Senate and the House to end partial birth abortion. He vetoed it several times. We've all seen the news and the shouting matches. Some like to argue, this is what our present president says. He doesn't like the idea of abortion, but this is his words. Well, I may not choose to have an abortion, but I would never force my opinion on another. You see, that sounds so good, doesn't it? I'm personally against abortion, but I would never tell anybody else they couldn't do what they felt was right. Folks, suppose that person wanted to kill you. Now, I'm against murder myself, and I wouldn't murder anybody, But I would never tell you, you can't kill me. Folks, we do it all the time, don't we? We have laws. I personally wouldn't steal anything out of your house. But I would never tell you that you couldn't come into my house and steal out of mine. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But that's the kind of thinking we have today. John Wilkes, well, before I get to him, let me show you a verse, Proverbs 24:11. So many people think, I'm against abortion personally, but I really don't want to take a stand because somebody will get angry. The Bible says, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, but we knew nothing about this. Does not he who weighs the hearts perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they have done? If you and I just ignore the death of babies, isn't God going to take that into account? God told Moses the death of the babies that were dying in Egypt cried out to the Lord. I got to tell you, they had far less deaths of the Israelite slave boys than we've had in our nation. There was only about 2 million Jewish people that came out of Egypt. Folks, we've got 300 plus million people in our nation, and we are killing babies by the score. John Wilkes, the former president of National Right to Life Center in Cincinnati, said, since when does anyone's right to live depend on someone else wanting them? Killing the unwanted is a monstrous evil. Folks, when did we ever start this? Well, we started in 1973. It all started back in about 1962 when we cast prayer out of the schools. Then we cast the Ten Commandments out of the schools. Then we said, you school teachers can't even mention God. They can't pray. They can't do anything to try to affect children towards God. Folks, what a crazy thing. Before we get too far, I want to go over a few details on abortion, and I want to explain to you a few things that maybe you haven't heard or don't know. When someone is declared dead, now I'm a hospice chaplain, so I experience this quite often. When our nurse goes to the room, they check for something right away. They check for a pulse. If somebody is having trouble with breathing on their own, before they will declare the person dead, they check for brain waves, two things that go on. Do they have a pulse? Do they have brain wave? Is there activity there? I want to tell you something. A child at 18 days, just 2.5 weeks of gestation, mom doesn't even know she's pregnant yet, okay? 2.5 weeks. That baby has a detectable heartbeat, its own heart. 2.5 weeks. At just 40 days, just 5.5 weeks into pregnancy, that baby has its own brain waves. Do you know almost 100% of abortions happen after week 8? So the baby not only has a detectable heartbeat and brain waves, but it's about 3 or 4 weeks beyond all that, and now there's an abortion. We need to look too at why women are having abortions. I want to go through a few percentages. Sometimes we forget the details, but you'll get the general idea. 1% of all the abortions that happen in the United States happen because the mother was a victim of incest or rape. 1%. And so you always hear that. Well, the state doesn't have an exclusion for rape or incest. Well, even if we had an exclusion, it's only 1%. 1% of abortions happen because they find out the baby has an abnormality. Many times I've read where the doctor told the mother that the baby had an abnormality and the mother did not get an abortion and the baby was born perfectly whole. Can't tell you that's all the time, but many times that happens. 4% of abortions happen because the doctor said the mother's health would worsen if pregnancy continued. That means what? That adds up to 6%. So 94% of all the abortions that happen in our nation happen because of the convenience or the desire of the mother and the father or whoever makes that final decision. 94% are not because of rape or incest. They're not because the baby has an abnormality. They're not because the mother's sick. 96% is we can't afford to have a baby, we don't want a baby right now, and so we're killing our babies. 50% of abortions happen because the mother did not want to be a single parent or she was having trouble in her current relationship. 66% of those having an abortion said they could not afford another child, and 77% of those having an abortion said the child would interfere with their lives. That's not good. When do abortions happen? Well, 25% from week 9 to week 10. So a quarter of the women that have abortions, it's after week 9 or 10. They know for sure now they're pregnant and they don't want a baby, and that's when it happens. 14% happen at 11 to 12 weeks, 5% 13 to 15 weeks, 4% 16 to 20 weeks, and only 2% after 20 weeks. So the question goes, since 1973, how many abortions have there been? And I made up a chart. It's in your bulletin if you don't have it. But it's important you get the idea. I've called this the war on the unborn. I don't know if you can bring that up, Joel, the chart. Have you got it back there? There we go. I want to cover the first part because this is very important. Every cross that's on that chart there, and you're going to see this in sections, but every chart or every cross represents 25,000 people that died. So in our Revolutionary War, you've got one cross. 25,000 men and women died to set our country free. You get to the Civil War, which is the most crosses, you've got 20 times 20,000. You've got almost 500,000 men and women that died during the Civil War. You hit World War I, you've only got 5 crosses. You hit World War II, you've got 16 crosses. And I'm not saying that's not a lot. That is a lot. The Korean War, you've got 2 crosses. You had a little over 50,000. Vietnam War, you've got 2 crosses. A little over 50,000 died. Now, I want you to drop down to the war on the unborn. This goes from 1973 until today. There's actually one more little section that should have been on another page, but we had trouble copying this morning. 2,580 crosses of 25,000 deaths is how many you've got. Do we have a war on the unborn? We certainly do. We're killing our own. In all the wars that this country has fought, you don't have 1.5 million deaths. But in the war on the unborn since 1973, we have killed 63 million of our own children. So I want to break this down for you. I want to be sure to cover what needs to be covered today. That's why we're going to take a little bit longer than normal. God has warned us in His Word about the days in which we live. Every major change in our nation truly was one nation under God for about 240 years, and now things are changing so radically that I can't keep up. All these changes have taken place in my lifetime. And so when we look at this thing, we're looking at what's happening, in my view, in the last of the last days. You can look at it however you want. But I want you to look at 2 Timothy 3, because God warned us about the time that we're in. The Lord said, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I want to stress again, 90%, a little bit more than 90% of all the abortions that take place, all the murders of babies, is because of the mother and the dad or whoever makes those decisions. It's just because it doesn't please them to have another baby. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, Paul says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Do you understand that's what we've done in our schools? Our public schools, believe it or not, were set up to train our children not just to read and write, but to have a reverence for God. The McGuffey readers, which were the first things that were taught in the schools, there was all kinds of scripture all through it. The first thing the Congress did after the president was sworn in, the Congress went down and they made a law to give Bibles to all the soldiers in the army. That was their first act. They loved the Lord. They loved his word. They wanted it proclaimed. Now we have declared since 1962, no prayer in the schools, no scriptures in the school, no Ten Commandments in the school, because they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. So God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. And I want to hit that last verse, verse 31, in a minute. It says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but they also approve of those who practice them. So I want to go back to verse 31 and explain just a little bit. They have no understanding. In our society today, if I go out and deliberately break an eagle egg, I'm going to be fined $5,000 and I'm going to spend some time in jail. If I am a doctor and I abort a baby, I kill that baby, I'm paid money and told thank you very much. Folks, that's no understanding. We have no comprehension of what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. No fidelity. According to God's word, God made the two one in marriage, a male and a female, to produce children who they would raise to love their Lord. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful to the wife of your youth. The man who hates and divorces his wife, says the Lord, the God of Israel, does violence to the one he should protect, says the Lord Almighty. So be on your guard and do not be unfaithful. God created marriage so that a man and a woman could unite as one and have offspring, which they were to love with all their heart as much as they love the Lord and train that little one how to love God. Folks, that's God's plan. No love. There was an ad that used to be on TV. It was a smoking ad. And it used to show a beautiful woman smoking her cigarette. And the ad said, you've come a long way, baby. You know, we have come a long way, but it's not in the right direction. No love. Isaiah 49, verse 15 talks about the love that a mother should have for her baby. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will never forget you. You see, it is possible for a woman to detest the offspring she's bearing. But it's not God's plan. It's never been God's plan. Most of you came, if you're a little older like I am, you came from a little bit larger family. Today, people have one child, maybe two, but boy, they don't want more than that. And I can understand it because of finances. I can understand that there is a limit. But when I was a boy, everybody had 8 or 10 or 12 kids. And they made it somehow. My folks didn't have a lot. We had 8 children. They didn't have a lot. I can remember my mother. We'd be having supper, and everybody got 2 pork chops. Mom never ate the second one. She always gave it to her kids. Why? Because she knew they were growing, and she loved them so much. Folks, for a mother not to love her offspring is not good. More than anything, mothers ought to love their babies. And it's sad today that that's not the way it goes. I'll just give you a couple examples. A few years ago, a young gal gave birth to a baby in the school. They were having the school prom. And the young new mother took that baby, took it into the bathroom, had the baby, drowned it in the toilet, and went out and danced her favorite dance. Something's wrong. And we'll say, well, she was really young. Yes, that's true. She was really young. But to do that, you say, how about older? How about them? Well, there's another story told about two college students. They had sex, and the girl got pregnant, and they waited all the way until she gave birth. And then they killed the baby and went back to college. Folks, that's where we've come to. It's unbelievable. A few years ago, I don't know if you remember the story, but a few years ago, some young boys were walking along the railroad tracks, and they found three or four cardboard boxes, big cardboard boxes, full of aborted babies. All those parts were in there, and on the outside of each box, it said medical waste. Folks, it's medical waste. I want to tell you, oftentimes in the abortion rooms, the babies are taken out still screaming, crying for food, and they're just thrown into a barrel. I can't believe that you could do that, but there are people that are doing it. The verse said, no mercy. Partial birth abortion, I don't know if you understand how this works or not, but the Congress did try to put an end to it several times, and it got vetoed. But partial birth abortion is before the head comes out of the mother's unit there, the doctor goes in and at the base of the skull cuts the skull away and literally sucks the brain out. That's what partial birth abortion is. It's a heinous thing. No mercy. There is no mercy. Because in their view, that's just a blob of flesh. I don't know how they can do that, because when that baby's coming out, the little legs are kicking and the arms are moving. It's a baby, folks. So who are we to say abortion's wrong? Well, I'll tell you who we are. This is extremely important because the Supreme Court of our land said that abortion is a constitutional right. And who are we to argue with the Supreme Court? I mean, these are nine extremely intelligent people that are making the laws. Well, our Supreme Court turned against the previous court and said they overstepped their bounds. Folks, there is no guarantee in our Constitution, state or federal, to guarantee abortion. Now, some states do have it. In 1931, our state made a law that no abortion would be allowed in the state of Michigan. As soon as our state found out that they were about to overturn Roe versus Wade, they took it to the courts, and our courts in Michigan have now said that that 1931 law is unconstitutional in Michigan. I hope you understand the fight is not over. We sang stand up and stand up for Jesus for a reason. You and I, this is our generation. The Bible talked about the men of Issachar who knew the proper time and what they ought to do. Folks, we're living in a time of extreme struggle in our nation. We're struggling. Are we going to believe in God and His Word, or are we going to believe in science, falsely so-called? Science tells us today that's not a baby. That's a fetus. It's not a human being yet. Science is wrong. Those of you that have been following this COVID-19 thing, how many times has the science been wrong? I got to tell you, every time. Every time they've told us things that were not true. I don't know when we're going to get through our minds to say the scientists could be wrong. And you say, well, why are they wrong? Because they're not doing true science. Science is observable and repeatable. It's always the same. Anything beyond that is speculation. When they tell you, they know what's going to happen. If you get the shot and you get the boosters, remember what they said? At first, you won't get it at all. Well, then they had to change the story just a little bit. You might get it, but you won't go to the hospital and you won't die. Well, then the story changed again. Folks, that's not science. Why are they saying those things? Because most of those scientists are on the boards of the medical facilities that are preparing the shots that you need to get. There's money huge money changing hands. And we keep thinking they're the scientists. They know they're doing it with right morals. Folks, there's nothing moral about it. It's money. Money talks. The rest of us walk, so get used to it. Who are we to say that it's wrong? We are God-fearing Christians. We base it on the Word of God. This isn't my thoughts. This is God's Word. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 15, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Sapphira and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women deliver during childbirth, on the delivery stool, if you see the baby's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God. And that's, I want to stress that. Feared, they had a reverential awe for God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They're vigorous and give birth before the midwives even arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. Now, I'm not asking you to lie. The midwives did tell a little fibber there. But the idea is they reverenced God, and they didn't fear the king that much that they would kill those baby boys, because they believed life is a gift of God, especially human life. God spoke in his word about the time the babies spend in the womb. In Psalm 139, verse 13, this is what David had to say about his birth. For you, God, created my inmost being. You, God, knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Folks, the Lord wants you to know that life, human life, is God's gift. It doesn't just happen. So what's God's view of our children? In Psalm 127, verse 3, this is what God says. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from him. Where do children come from? Scientists would say it's all biological. God has nothing to do with the birth of your child. God's way out. If there is a God at all, he's way out there. He has nothing to do with the birth. What did the Word of God say? God is forming that baby in the mother's womb. God knows that baby by name before the mother and dad ever name him. He's got a plan for that baby. And to abort that baby is to go against the plan and the will of our God. When does a baby become a baby? You know, that's the real debate, isn't it? Does it become a baby at birth? You know, the latest thing is several governors now, even in their states, you now have a choice as a mother. You've already delivered the baby. It's already out on the table. It's crying. It's doing whatever it's doing. It's alive. And now the mother has the right to say, I don't want that baby. And they will put it to death. Do you know they want to do that in Michigan? That's the battle we're in. That's what they want. Even after the baby's born, in Matthew 1:18, talking about the birth of our Lord, it says this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary, well, pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The reason I brought up that birth is to show you very clearly from God's word when God believes a baby becomes a baby. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39, Mary had a cousin named Elizabeth. Elizabeth couldn't give birth in her younger years, but in her advanced years, John the Baptist was her baby. And I want to show you what it says. At that time, Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby is John the Baptist that's going to be born in another 3 months. The baby is 6 months along, and the Lord called it a baby, leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Folks, we have to accept that the baby becomes a baby at the very second of conception. They're showing that more and more and more. Those of you that are having children and grandchildren having babies today, they can actually take a picture of that baby right in the mother's womb, and the hands and the feet are moving, and you can see it, the baby, it's got a heartbeat. Folks, it's a child. And when we abort that child, we're aborting a life that God created, that God has a purpose for, that God has a future plan for. And we have to be so careful with this. You may ask yourself, how is it that Christians can see that so obvious? And the sad thing is many Christians, at least that call themselves Christians, don't see it. And the unsaved people can't see this. 2 Corinthians 4:1 gives us the answer. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and so it doesn't do you any good to get into a great big argument with somebody that's an unbeliever about abortion. They won't get it. Tell them the truth, pray for them, but don't get arguing about this. So they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. You see, you believe all this is true because you have faith in your heart. But somebody that doesn't have faith in their heart that the Word of God is really the Word of God, how do they know the truth? The truth is whatever the majority say, or what I say. It's my life, I'm going to do my thing. And they think it's the right way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except his own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. So what happens is when the Holy Spirit comes in you, He gives you absolute assurance that the Word of God truly is inspired by God and that what God says is true no matter what men say. What men say is the truth today is not what men said was the truth 50 years ago. And what they said the truth 50 years ago wasn't the truth 100 years ago. It keeps changing. Because why? Because we keep on moving forward and moving away from our God. That's why we're in the situation we're in this nation today. Because we've left God, we've left His Word, we've left Him behind. And now we make up our mind right and wrong. Our Lord warned us about science falsely so-called. And I want you to look at 1 Timothy 6:20, because this is absolutely where we are today. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have concerning the faith, have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Some of you a little bit older than some of the others here, you remember when we were going to enter into the global warming? At the same time our scientists were saying we're entering global warming, the Russian scientists were saying we're entering the next ice age. Both scientists, different conclusions. Why? Because believe it or not, that's what their governments wanted them to say. It is not science. Today, the reason we're in a lot of the trouble we're in today is because decisions are being made on what's falsely called science. Why do you need an electric car today? Because the greenhouse gases that are causing all the heating and all the changes and all the climate. Folks, we're not ready for electric cars yet. If you bought an electric car today and you wanted to go to the UP, how are you going to get there? There's no charging stations. There's no place to charge up. Someday, I hope we can have electric cars. I think it's a great idea. But it's not clean energy. How did that electricity get produced? They're burning gas to make electricity. And one thing I'll say this real briefly, but General Motors is now going to set up every 50 miles across our state on the major highways electric charging stations. So you can go to the charging station every 50 miles, and it takes right now a half hour to recharge your car to 80%. The interesting thing they're leaving out is how much is that going to cost? Isn't it interesting they're not telling anybody how much your recharge? You know, when I fill up right now, it's $80. What's it going to be to recharge? Maybe 100. I don't know. One other thing. We are in a spiritual battle. This is not a political battle. This is a moral battle. This is spiritual. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 or chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Have we got her, Joel? Don't have it. Okay. Let me look it up. All right. We got her here. Very important you understand the battle you're in, because if you think you're going to win it at the ballot box, you're not. If hearts don't change, nothing's going to change. That's why we're praying for revival. If people's hearts don't change on this issue, nothing is going to change. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. That's why I told you, don't argue with people. Don't get all worked up. This is spiritual. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are the things that people believe in their heart that's how they're living. I believe abortion is 100% right, they'll say. It's wicked to stop those women from having. That's a stronghold. We demolish strongholds. Verse 5, We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How do we do it? We do it through prayer, folks. We do it by being on our knees and praying, and you can tell people the truth, but it takes the Holy Spirit to get it to them. The natural man cannot receive the things of God because they're foolishness to him. When you start to say that baby in your womb is a gift of God, the life is a life of a baby, that's foolishness to a woman that doesn't know the Lord. It's an inconvenience. I don't want it. And you can argue till the crows come home, you're not going to win. But you go to prayer for that young woman, the Lord may very well touch her heart and inspire her to know the love of God. If she gets the love of God, she's not going to abort her baby, period. One last verse. We talked about science falsely so-called. Some of you are getting pretty sick of getting lied to. I know I am. You can't trust, and it's sad. I used to, when I was a boy, I trusted the newscasters to give me the truth. Most of the time, they were unbiased. They just said, this is what's going on. And you could pretty well take it to the bank. Today, you can't trust any of them because they all have an agenda. Look at John 8:44, and with this, we are going to be done. So we almost don't have that either, okay. John 8:44 says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies, and there's no truth in him. Folks, what we have now is a spiritual battle between God the Father and Satan. And people are taking sides. We have never seen our nation in such a division as we're seeing right now. There is no middle ground. You're going to have to make up your mind, which side are you going to stand on? Who are you going to believe? I'm choosing to believe the Word of God. I don't care what men say. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. God says life is his gift, and we ought to treasure that life. You know, in our Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence, it says that our government was set up to guarantee life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. The only question is, when does human life start? And we as Christians believe it's at that very second of conception. As soon as that happens, that's a baby. It may not be born yet, but that's a baby. Father, help us to be strong for your will. Help us not to be belligerent and mean and angry. But Lord, help us to stand for the truth. Help us to proclaim the truth, not in a vindictive tone, but in a loving tone. Father, it isn't that the people don't want to know. It's that they can't know until they know Christ. So, Father, help us to be witnessing about Jesus, in the same time, saving lives. Father, in this next election, if we have a candidate that's for abortion, Father, I don't care what else they're for, I'm not voting for them. And I hope every Christian here will say the same thing. Father, this is an extremely important decision. Because the blood of these babies, 63 million babies, is crying out to you. Father, turn this nation around. Send us revival in our churches. Help us to lead people to Christ that they might think differently. Lord, change our schools. Get us back to proclaiming the Word of God in our schools. Father, help our young people. Because it's really going to be the next generation that's going to win or lose this battle. We've got a good start. But Father, there's so much further to go. Bless us and use us. Help us to be strong for your glory. And Father, we're going to give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen.